Test.
There you go. That came loose all because of this vest. And I'll tell you about this vest. Mona made this vest a few years ago. Well, she got it. I thought she made all these years, I thought you made it. She bought it for one of the puppets, and it was too big. So she finally found a dummy that it fit. And I'm wearing it, and it's my Christmas vest. And the thing caused the... I'm not used to wearing one, and it caused the whole deal to come loose there. Thank you, Roger. Our text is the familiar story from Matthew chapter 2, and those verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Well, the traditions of Christmas and the pageants that we see, I don't want to distract from them in any way, but preaching requires proper interpretation of the text, I believe. So I'm not going to make a great case for changing our Christmas pageants. But let's just realize that the internal evidence of Scripture and all of the external evidence of Scripture would tell us that these magi came to Jerusalem probably about the time Jesus was 2 years old. They were not in the manger scene with the shepherds. We can still do that. But we read things here that internally tell us he was a young child. We wonder why it was that Herod had all the babies 2 years old and down to be killed. And the text never says that they came to Bethlehem, does it? It says the star led them to the house where the child was, and they went in. Now, I say all of that so that we just have a better understanding of Scripture. Not that it means a whole lot, not that you have to make a case or a doctrine out of it, but it is important to kind of put the historical sequence in place so that we have those facts more clearly ingrained. Now, more important than the timing is this event. In most of your Bibles where you will see wise men, if it has margin notes, you'll find the word magi. We heard about the magi in the orientation on the traditions of Christmas. We are familiar with that term. We almost automatically recognize magi. That sounds like magic. That sounds like magician. Well, absolutely, that's what it sounds like. Who were these men? Who were the magi? Today I want to talk about the magi, who are called wise men, finding true wisdom. Most likely, these men could have been from Persia, modern-day Iran. They came from the east. They had seen his star there. The Magi were people who did things. They were a mixture of astrologers, alchemists, and esoteric thinkers. They dabbled in some of the arts. They dabbled in the things that were the wisdom of the world. the alchemists, they toyed with ideas of taking very ordinary metals and converting them into precious metals. They were kind of magicians and chemists all rolled into one. They toyed with elixirs from the dust of many of these metals. They would try to do things like create an elixir that would give you immortal life. These were the kinds of things that these men were involved in. They represented, if you please, the wisdom of the world at that time. They were very esoteric, which basically means they were held to be in a class of people who had special knowledge that was only for a select few. Much like the Gnostics in the New Testament that John had to write and deal with in the church. These folks who saw themselves as having some kind of special knowledge that was extra and beyond the revelation that Christ had given. Now, when you think about the Magi, the wise men, coming from these, God allowing them somehow, because they studied the stars, they were more than astronomers. The astrology would talk to them about this star represents something. This star represents something going on in Israel. This star represents a new king to be born in Israel. It was the kind of thing they were interested in constantly. And so to these men who were filled with the wisdom of the world, God chose to reveal to them in the person of Jesus Christ true wisdom. It is just like God to do something like that. When we think about the people that he chose to surround his coming into the earth, we're amazed. We always talk about a lowly, humble teenage girl, Mary, being willing to yield to the overpowering of the Holy Spirit to bear the Son of God. We talk about the shepherds to whom the announcement was first made, the lowliest class, thought to be thieves and untrustworthy, so much so and so unreliable, shepherds were not allowed to bear witness in court. And yet God chose to reveal to them the birth of his Son, and they indeed became the first witnesses of the greatest fact that had ever happened. But then God also has not forgotten the upper class, if you please, to these great princes, these great kings. We three kings of Orient, we sing. These men of wealth and power and wisdom, but the wisdom of the world. To them also God chooses to make known that he has come to the earth. And so briefly this morning, as I talk about the Magi find true wisdom, I want to remind us that from the book of Proverbs and also in the New Testament, some selected scriptures that talk to us about the importance of wisdom. My hope and prayer is that just as those Magi were introduced to the true wisdom of Christ, we might give this morning greater heed to the value of wisdom. In Proverbs, we will look at the excellence of wisdom. The excellence of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. Just listen to this. I mean, the whole book of Proverbs, much of Psalms, is called wisdom literature. I mean, I could have gone on and on and on with verses that talk about this. In Proverbs, wisdom is personified. Wisdom speaks as if she is a person speaking to those who will listen. And so we read, "Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." In those verses, we find that the attributes, the virtues, the blessings of wisdom. And keep in the back of your mind through this all that we're going to conclude by saying wisdom is indeed personified in the person of Christ. It is in Christ that true wisdom is found. It is in Christ that we're able to do and learn and move forward in that which is right. It is in Christ that we find truth. I mean, we can just interrelate. Jesus said, I am the truth. Wisdom is in a person. Truth is in a person. He is the foundation and the epitome of everything that is right and true. And so you wonder sometimes why the world is so upside down, why there's such crazy thinking, why ideas that don't make sense are imposed upon people, why foolishness abounds and trivial nonsense is the focus of the day. It is because folks have abandoned wisdom. It's been replaced with that which is superficial. And underneath all of that has been just a gradual wandering away from the person of Christ and all that he is and all that he came to bring to us. And so truth and that which is right. And in that passage, it also says it's plain. You know, not that I want to equate common sense with spiritual wisdom, but they are a little bit related. Have any of you gotten the feeling in the last few years of your life that common sense has just gone out the door? That stupidity and foolishness and chaos seems to permeate our culture? Well, it's because the simplicity of the plain truth that's found in Christ has been lost and replaced with substitutes. And so the Proverbs writer there says, all of these virtues are better than wealth. I mean, we live in a world where, among other things, the greatest pursuit is the pursuit of wealth. And while God has provided for us and calls for us to provide for ourselves and calls for us and allows us to succeed and to be blessed, if that's our focus, and it's that simple truth that anything that we really make as a God above our God will leave us disappointed. And the Proverbs writer says, wisdom found in Christ is far better than all the wealth you might accomplish. Now in this same 8th chapter, we just pick up a couple of other verses, 32 through 35, as Proverbs continues to speak, as wisdom continues to unfold herself. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Now, I read an extra verse, but what we find in those few verses are this, that wisdom brings with it a blessing. Wisdom brings with it a full life. Wisdom brings with it favor with God. I've been thinking recently about what it is to have favor. That's a privilege that comes with wisdom. That's a privilege that comes from practicing wisdom. You know, the Bible says right after Jesus came back from the 12-year-old temple experience that he went down to Nazareth and lived with his family. And Luke tells us that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I want to encourage you, and I know a lot of televangelists who preach prosperity to the extreme and all of that kind of thing. That's not where I'm going. But I want to tell you, practicing the wisdom that Christ offers will allow you to walk in favor with men and with God. Learn to practice the things that God lays down. And it can be as simple as just implementing some of those basic principles that Jesus spoke about. And you will learn to have, you won't have to learn it, it will have, you will be in favor with people. People will be glad to help you, to support you, to be there for you. But you have to sow the seeds and you have to learn to walk in wisdom. This past week on Monday, I helped to officiate in the funeral of my cousin's 94-year-old mother. And by the way, it was a great experience. First funeral I ever went to where I got a prize. My cousin said, I asked Mom, Mom, what would you like to do whenever the time comes for your memorial service? She said, Son, I'd really like for everybody to have a Frosty. And so since it wasn't appropriate to pass them out, we all got a gift certificate for a free Frosty from my cousin's mom. We'll claim that one of these days. But one of the things that she had said, and he said, my mom's religion was simple. She said she believed that Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you really practice that, you can't go wrong. She said, son, whenever you are deciding anything, stop and think, how would I want to be treated in this situation? He said her other philosophy by which she lived was this, don't judge other people. He said she took me to Romans chapter 1 where all the great sins of the world, the worst kinds of sins, are laid out, and it says God will judge those. And then verse 1 of chapter 2 of Romans says, therefore, O man, you are without excuse if you judge another, for you, the judge, are doing the same thing. So she said, don't judge, leave it in God's hands. I want to tell you, those are some basic principles of wisdom. And if you walk in those, you will walk not only in favor with your fellow man, but you'll walk in favor with God. And so this is the true wisdom that the Magi found when they found Jesus, the excellence of that wisdom. Secondly, the way of wisdom. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 through 12. Proverbs 9, 10 through 12. Some of you are waiting for this verse, I think. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you're wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. The way of wisdom, first and foremost, is founded upon an acknowledgement of the source of all wisdom, the God who created us. These wisdom writers would say in another place, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I was listening recently to one of our local preachers preaching along this subject about the existence of God and acknowledging God. And having himself spent many years as an agnostic made it easier, I guess, for he said, I have a whole lot more respect for an agnostic than I do for an atheist. For the agnostic is willing at least to admit, I don't know. I can't be sure. The atheist is a fool because he has said there is no God when we can't know. I've said numerous times as a believer, I would not be able to sit down and prove to anyone that there is a God. But by faith, I believe he is. And I see more evidence that he is than evidence that he isn't. And so the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The agnostic may question and wonder. And God doesn't doubt down doubters. When we begin to seek for the truth, he will reveal himself. And so the fear, the reverent respect and acknowledgement that there is a God that is greater than anything that we know or see, and certainly greater than ourselves, is the way of wisdom. Even William Shakespeare wrote, the fool doth think he is wise, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool. The fool doth think he is wise, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool. I think what Shakespeare was saying, the fool thinks he knows everything. The wise man is willing to admit there's more that he doesn't know than he does. And I think those of you who are aging along with me might be willing to say the older you get, the more you realize the things you don't know. At the Eastern Kentucky graduation a week ago Friday, the president quoted that old Mark Twain saying, and he gave it as advice to the graduates. Mark Twain said, "When I was 14, I could barely stand to be around the old man. He knew so little and was so annoying, I could hardly stand it. When I turned 21, I was amazed at how much the old man had learned in 7 years." That was Mark Twain. It is the growing and living that teaches us that wisdom is found in how much we don't know. And thus, as we learn how much we don't know, we can, as Christians, grow in how much we must learn to trust the one who does know. You know, I thought about the wise men as astrologers. They look for answers in the stars rather than the one who was the creator of the stars. Has much changed? How many horoscopes in newspapers and other places, psychics, and you can call your own psychic and you can get a free line for just a few moments, and there's psychics in Hollywood, which is the last psychic I would consult, but if you're going to consult a psychic who just helped my life and straightened me out and gave me such answers, men are still looking for wisdom in the stars instead of the one who created the stars. You know, we use that word star in a lot of ways. You know, like the star of the basketball team or the star of the movie. Can I just say in a note of celebration today, we're celebrating the real star of the whole world, Jesus Christ. He's the star. He's the star. And so we not only know the excellence of wisdom and the way of wisdom. You know what Shakespeare said is very akin to what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no one deceive himself. Okay, don't fool yourself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. I think we get the point. Whether it's from Shakespeare or the Apostle Paul, it is the truth of God that says true wisdom is found in the person of Christ. And that brings us to verse 12 of that Proverbs 9. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. I think what the writer's saying, if you're wise, you'll gain the benefits of that wisdom. If you're foolish, you will suffer the consequences. Nobody else to bear it for you. That's what he's saying. And so we come to the conclusion, the who of wisdom, the excellence we've seen, the way, the who of wisdom we know for a fact to be Jesus Christ. But I want to talk to you in closing about how he fulfills the excellence and the way. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, we've got three very profound. There, as the Hebrew writer compares the excellence of Christ to angels and to every other created being, he says, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So the excellence of wisdom is found in the person of Jesus Christ, whose name itself is excellent. He excels them all. He's gone beyond all of them. When the writer of the Song of Solomon said, there are many who are beautiful, but you have excelled them all, that may be a reference to all beauty, all kinds of things that we call excellent, Jesus is the most excellent of all. So we talked about the way of wisdom, and the way of wisdom we know is also Jesus Christ. In the 14th chapter of John, in the 6th verse, I believe it is, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You know, that answer was given to Thomas, who was a very honest apostle. That answer was given right after Jesus had said to them, I'm going away, and where I go you know, and the way you know. And it was Thomas who spoke up and said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And I think Jesus' answer here in the 6th verse is a great foundation and comfort to all of us. Many things we don't know. Sometimes we wonder where Jesus has gone. He seems so strangely absent. Sometimes in life we don't know which way to go. So many dilemmas face us and possible choices. and to our uncertainty. Jesus simply says, I am the way. We lean on Him. We go to Him. We're honest with Him. We lay out our concerns. He's not insulted or embarrassed by anything we say because He's seen it all and He knows it all. And so we just come to Him and say, Lord, I don't know the way. I've messed up here. I don't know what decision to make. And He is a comfort. Just as Ruth gave her testimony about how getting into it with the body of Christ brings great joy, I have found that when I'm confused and astray, if I will just make myself go to the Word or just begin to talk to the Lord and let Him speak to me and however He wants to, there is a solace, there's a comfort. In fact, Paul would say there is a peace when we trust Christ that goes beyond understanding. It's a part of submitting to the One who Himself is the way of wisdom. And then finally, the very personification of wisdom, as Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Catch these words. But of Him, that is Christ, you who are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Are you willing this morning? Are we willing to let Jesus be the wisdom that we find? The source of it, the excellence of it, the way of it, and the who of it? It is in Christ. And Paul would conclude that by saying, if you've got anything to glory about, let it be in the Lord. I think it calls for us to humble ourselves and to exalt the most excellent name of all, to lift up the name of Jesus, to recognize who He is and who we are, and fit ourselves into that pattern of living. Rock, if you'd have the worship team to come, I'd ask you to stand to your feet as we worship this One who is wisdom. Go, those magi found true wisdom. I trust that most of us here this morning have already found true wisdom in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you haven't, it's a great opportunity to do so. But would you agree? Would you agree that all of us could grow in that wisdom? Grow in that wisdom in the way we make choices, the way we go about living our lives. Let's worship Him. And if there's a need on your heart, please come.
Oh, come all you faithful, Lord. Oh, come all you faithful.
Said he wanted to share a word that may just be for someone, so I want to give him that opportunity before we sing any further.
Started getting this during breakfast, and it hasn't been released from me, so I'm just going to share it. There's a person or people here that feel left out. They feel like they don't matter. They feel like they're being ignored. They feel like they don't belong. They feel like there's just nothing for them. And the Lord just wants me to tell you that God Almighty has Jesus for you. And you are feeling the way you're feeling because you've been looking in the wrong places for the fulfillment that He wants to give to you. And so I just want to encourage you, and don't do anything until you've talked to somebody about Jesus, because he has been made wisdom for us who believe in him. So I just want to encourage you, whether you do it now or you do it sometime or other, but just do it, and just come and talk with somebody about the way you feel. And I believe that the Lord was going to reveal himself to you in such a special way that you'll never wonder again whether or not you matter.
Amen. Thank you. Well, let's take that word to heart, continue to worship, and allow the Lord to continue to speak to us this morning.
Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Today was that you would be blessed with the truth and the reality and the grace, the peace and the hope that is in the one whose advent we are celebrating. Word from the Lord about that feeling of not mattering. Maybe even before you leave this place today, you'd like to talk to someone about that. Never embarrass a person at all. But what a joy to find real peace and purpose if you've been plagued with that feeling that nobody cares and that God has forgotten you. We ask you to ponder that word carefully. Greet one another today with the love of Christ. May you enjoy your celebrations with family and friends in the coming hours of this day and tomorrow. Remember the announcements, the things that are in the bulletin. If they pertain to you, please give heed to those. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine.